Hello, it is Wednesday, December 16th. Big show today. Big show today.
Huge show today.
Can't thank you enough for choosing to listen to the show. We got good football talk with Jonathan Taylor. We got Dane Orlovsky, the artist formerly known as Dane Orlovsky. Sham Sharani with a little bit of NBA talk, what we need to know. We're not big NBA guys, but he lays it out very quickly. And some good chatter. We can't thank you enough for joining us. If you enjoy the show by the end of it, please be a friend, tell a friend. If not, go fuck yourself. Let's go ahead and have a damn show, Ty! Joining us today will be Jonathan Taylor, running back for the Indianapolis Colts, formerly of Wisconsin, who has been running wild all over the NFL the last couple weeks, really finding his stride, and a big weapon for the Indianapolis Colts this past weekend against the Raiders. He went off. He had, I forget how many, but he had a lot. He had touchdowns. He had a lot of yards. He's getting loose. The Colts' defense is great. You got Nyheim Hines also in the backfield. Phillip Rivers is starting to figure it out. T.Y. Hilton's waking up. I mean, that team is primed for a run in the AFC, but in the AFC's Kansas City Chiefs. Speaking of, we'll talk to Dane Orlovsky from ESPN today in the third hour about what his thoughts are on everything popping off in the NFL right now, who's great, who stinks, and what he's got going on in his life as host of NFL Live every single day on ESPN. Also joining us in the second hour, about an hour from now, Sham Sharani from the Athletic Stadium. The NBA is happening, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. And you can also tell which one Zito likes more by the photos that were used here.
What do you mean?
No, Dane
Orlovsky and a boot. That's not how. That's in tribute, by the way. That's a good shirt, by the way.
I love that shirt. I have it.
But you put the coolest photo I've ever seen of Sham Sharani.
Yeah, that's a good photo.
And by the way, you have Sham's in front of Jonathan Taylor, by the way, like with the shadow. It's because Zito and Sham's are like texting friends.
Oh, yeah.
That's how we got Sham's on
the
show.
We got to look at this way, too. It's the V formation right there.
Yeah,
he's leading the V there.
Yeah, the flying V. Zito's with his guy, Sham Sharani, who looks unbelievable.
If Jonathan Taylor was at 105, he would have been leading the V.
Yeah, letting the V. That's what it's all about, is letting the V. You know, sometimes you got to lead by example. That is something that we say we do.
I'm a big lead guy. You know that.
Yeah, but love the lead. But Shams will be on talking about basketball. James Harden showed up, and he looks awesome. I thought there was actually a Photoshop picture of him floating around the internet last night. James Harden, obviously, everybody knows, once out of Houston, still once out of Houston, even though they have John Wall on the squad. And he showed up last night looking awesome. It was his first minutes in a preseason game. He and John Wall were on the court for the first time together. Everybody behind the scenes is saying that James Harden has been making the decisions since like 2012. But James Harden's pissed off about the decisions that are being made. He wants out. They offered him like $200 million or something like that. He said no to it, and then he showed up looking like that. That's awesome. Good idea. Maybe he'll get cut, I guess this is. I don't know who's going to be like, hey, let's trade for this unless we can get him in shape, I guess, in 2 months and then get him back, which is probably what you're thinking. Connor, at Boston Connor, big-time NBA fan. He said it doesn't matter how fat you are or what your weight is. All you got to do is step back three, and if it falls, it falls.
Exactly. That's what James does. And I don't know this narrative that he stinks or anything like that. I think a lot of teams want him, but the Rockets are asking for way too much.
No, yeah. I'm not talking about him stink. I'm talking about him looking like
that. Yeah. Oh, being that thick.
Yeah. Because, listen, as somebody who has come back at different weights on a very regular basis, you know, no, like – I was a punter, so I could do that. Like, if the quarterback was showing up,
right,
you know, like this,
yeah,
and then disappearing, and then like this, you know, they probably question things and drive and motivation and things that are going on off the court. But also, this could be James Harden saying, I'm not getting a haircut until I get the fuck out of here. And a haircut can really change the way everything looks like that. The NBA is happening, though. Nobody really cares, but it'll be a conversation piece. It happens to be a Wednesday, so there's not really much to talk about, but we do want to talk to you. 1-888-623-3646. Give us a call. Cannot wait to chat with you. We also have questions from other sports shows. Ooh. At Tone Diggs, there's some GM talk happening. There's some quarterbacks that are allegedly done after this season. There's a lot of chitter chatter happening about offseason moves right now in the NFL because we're at the end of the NFL season. Lewis Riddick's name is up for basically every GM role that is currently open. You go on Monday Night Football, you do a good job on there, people say. You put over some secondaries, your booth. And then you just go and become a GM. Is that kind of the role of this whole thing? Or why is Lewis Riddick's name so hot, you think?
Yeah, it seems like, because I believe I saw where he was last in the NFL in 2013, and then he's been on TV ever since. And I think that's the role that you take. Like Mayock did it, where you go on TV and you talk about what teams should do and the players they should take, but no one holds you accountable because you're on TV. So it's not actually that no one keeps track of your results. So you sound smart all the time. And then you get interviewed for a GM job because, ownerships are stupid, and they just see that you're in front of a TV, and they think, hey, these people wouldn't hire a stupid guy to do that.
So. By the way, the TV people would hire stupid people to talk. They do it all the time. But the Lewis Riddick narrative is interesting because I think he was up for one last year, too. Like there was a couple conversations about it. You get on Monday Night Football, up the profile a little bit. Now your name's out there. Mike Mayock and the Raiders, by the way, have done a good job. They also hired a TV guy, John Gruden. They said, hey, we're going to go straight to TV. We're going to NFL Network, okay, because that's associated with the league. He'll be picking a roster. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go Monday Night Football, John Gruden, and we'll bury that franchise. We'll get John Gruden out of that booth, and we will just fucking bury Monday Night Football without John Gruden. Get Tirico out of there, too. Chris Mortensen reporting this morning. Shout out to Mort, by the way, at ESPN Monday Night Football analyst. Lewis Riddick is interviewing today for the Houston Texans general manager job. Sources tell Adam Schefter and me. Riddick will then interview with the Lions on Friday.
Ooh.
So there's like an old adage in the coaching world. I assume it's the same in the GM world. If you're an owner and you like somebody, you don't let them out of the building. Like, if you want to hire somebody, you don't let them out of the building. Because if they go somewhere else, even though you guys had great chemistry and they like it and everything like that, if he goes to the Lions, maybe he, I don't know, maybe he'll love that situation. Yeah, you know what I mean? Maybe he'll love that situation more. So I think we'll learn a lot on whether or not how that conversation went today. Now, granted, the Texans are going to do their due diligence. I would assume they'll talk to other people. But if they fall in love with him today, I don't think they'll let him leave the building and just kind of get that gig done with and over with. Ooh. Who are the Lions going to hire? Chad Brown is reported. Who the fuck is Chad Brown? At Evan Fox. He used to be a Detroit Lions fan. Who's Chad Brown?
I've never heard of a Chad Brown, Pat.
Okay, can you please put the tweet up so people know what we're talking about? It was said this morning by Chad Brown on Detroit Sport Radio. Chad Brown said on 104.3 The Fan that he's hearing that the Lions are going to move on from QB Matthew Stafford. And that comes from Kevin Kistner at Kistner Radio. We do not know who Kevin Kistner is. We do not know who Chad Brown is. We do not know what 104.3 The Fan is. But we know whenever you put those three together in Detroit, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And I think Matthew Stafford, we all have understood, is on his way out. Yep. But who's making that decision? You know, because they're going to who's making that decision?
That's what I was going to ask.
So is Chad Brown a offspring of the Ford family?
Ooh.
Is he talking to the Ford? At Nick Maralda has a hand up. I got something to say about Chad Brown, I think.
Did a little research. It is actually former NFL linebacker Chad Brown, former Steeler and Patriot. And it's 104.3 The Fan in Denver.
Hey, now.
Uh-oh. Is he associated with the Ford family? I mean, how good for him, by the way. I heard Chris Spielman, a man who bashed punters the other day, has now got a job in Detroit. They have a great punter there. I hope Jack Fox smacks him in the mouth.
Yep.
But it is get a good football guy in there, I think, is what they're thinking this whole thing. It'll be interesting to see how all these jobs are filled, especially with us learning that they hire independent businesses to do evaluations for them, and they just kind of take other people's words that they're for their own. I mean, you could see why teams fuck it up all the time, but I'm excited to see who does. You know what I mean? Yep. What hire in a year from now or 2 years from now, GM, did everybody think, yeah, that was a terrible hire. We're right back in the same situation, maybe even worse. And what hire is like, yeah, it's a good hire. Like if Lewis Riddick is a, what if he's an incredible GM? And I'm not saying that he can't be, and I'm not saying it'd be a surprise, but Mike Mayock did a pretty good job, I think, over there. Now, him and the Antonio Brown situation, which, by the way, makes it even better that he had to handle that. Mm-hmm. Also, Khalil Mack, Amari Cooper.
Yep.
They made a lot of moves. Now, their team is kind of teetering out here at the end of the season, just like they did last year, so they're going to have to figure that the fuck out. Knock on wood if you're with me. But, I mean, the TV guys have been getting jobs, not too bad. You know what I think? I think my name should be up for NFL head coach.
Yeah!
Let's do it. Why not?
Why not? TV, right? I mean, that's what you Gruden for years. He would leak his name out for a head coaching role. He'd get some interest. Then he'd go to ESPN and say, hey, listen, this is what they're going to pay me a head coach. And ESPN's like, well, we've seen the future, and we need you on Monday Night Football. So we'll go ahead and re-sign you to another deal worth $5 million more dollars a year. Congrats to you. And then the next year comes out, John Gruden's name is up for the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. And Gruden's like, I'll tell you what, man. I don't want to do it. But they're offering real money out there.
I will.
And ESPN re-signs John Gruden to an extension for $2 million more dollars a year. That was beautifully played. Beautifully played. Is Lewis Riddick going to start doing that with Monday Night Football? I hope so. That'd be hilarious. But it's a wild time in the NFL, dude. 8 jobs probably going to be open. Head coaching jobs. 8. That's a lot. That's 25% of the goddamn league is going to be wide open with turnover. That means 25% of the league is going to try to rebuild. 25% of the league is going to move on. And there's one particular place that doesn't have a coach being fired or GM being fired, but it's going to be a new day down there. Drew Brees allegedly done after this year. All reports coming out, Drew Brees is done after this year. At Ty Schmidt, noted Drew Brees fan. This has to be something that's a bit disheartening at this point.
Oh, I'm glad. Get him out of there. I'm done with Drew Brees. Nah, I can't stand him. I'm done with Drew Brees.
Why?
Well, you know, and this might just be me. I'm sure there are a lot of people in New Orleans that love him. He kind of just seems like a pompous asshole all the time.
Good God. So, Drew Brees?
Yeah, you know, and then the will they, won't they. I mean, dude, you're 41. You broke like 18 ribs and collapsed a lung. Like, just fucking give it up, dude. Walk off into the sunset. You guys aren't winning the Super Bowl this year.
No, you don't think so.
You know, move on to, you know, Sunday Night Football and then cancel yourself right out of that booth. Like, just get that process started. I'm done with Drew Brees.
I would like to let everybody know that the opinions of Ty do not reflect that of his employer or his peers, but I do believe it reflects a large part of the internet, potentially.
Yeah.
It has to be something that is talked about. Drew Brees is going to have every single record whenever he's done, basically. Mm-hmm. Now, Tom Brady will probably beat him with touchdowns because they're currently battling, and I don't think Tom's done after this year because avocado ice cream and everything.
Of course.
Right.
But if Drew Brees is done after this year, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, certain Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Super Bowl champion. They're already putting him in the goddamn Notre Dame games, he's going right into that thing. How will that go? Probably bad, okay, if we had to guess. But that does not take away from Drew Brees' incredible career. You got to remember, guy was kicked out of San Diego.
Oh, yeah, great football player.
Kicked out of, great football player, undersized guy from Purdue, did well. But if they move on, which everybody's saying they're going to, and you believe they're not going to win the Super Bowl, it's going to be tough, especially if they're losing to Jalen Hurts and the boys up there in Philadelphia. But that could have been a wake-up game. If they move on, Sean Payton's come out and said, he told Jameis, like, hey, you're going to have a shot to win this job. And then he told Taysom Hill, Taysom Hill's also going to have a shot. Is that just going to be an open competition? You're going to have to sign both of them, I think, right?
Yeah,
Jameis is up and Taysom's up. So, I think Taysom's up. I thought the two-year extension. So if he has one, then what is Jameis signing for? Because that'll tell us immediately who is going to be the starter going into camp. Mm-hmm. That's going to be an interesting situation. And what if Sean Payton says, you know what? Fuck them both. How many games has Taysom Hill played now? Four? Three. One game he looked good. It was two weeks ago.
He's played four. So he had the Broncos game when they didn't have a quarterback.
And
Atlanta, hold on.
He threw for like 27 yards that game.
Yeah.
So he ran for two touchdowns, though. Mm-hmm. They still won, but he was like holding on to the ball. Who did he play next?
Atlanta twice, and then they lost to the Eagles this past weekend.
Okay, so he, I guess it was against Atlanta, though, whenever he was slinging the rock
His first touchdown.
But when he was playing quarterback good. He was like playing quarterback
his
good
third
2 weeks
start.
Ago. Yeah, his third start. Mm-hmm. He was playing quarterback good. At the top of his drop back, he was letting it loose. Michael Thomas was covered, but he was throwing the ball. He was making decisions like an NFL quarterback. Okay, then this past week it seems like he regressed again. Mm-hmm. It seemed like and that's an interesting thing. I would assume that is a difficult jump just to make. The thing about it is we don't know Jameis, right? He played one half with Sean Payton. It wasn't great. It was not great at all, but they still won the game. We don't know what Jameis and Sean Payton are, and I don't know if we ever will if they don't re-sign him to a deal, because I would assume Jameis Winston's services are potentially going to be needed elsewhere. He's probably going to get more than what he made league men right now this year
or whatever.
$1 million. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bad quarterback play. Jameis Winston got LASIK. I mean, you know what I mean? He said he went to the Harvard of quarterbacking, which is down there in the Saints stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think there might be a little bit of a competition to get Jameis, more so this year than there was last year after he threw 75 interceptions.
Taysom Hill's cap hit next year is $16 million for the Saints.
Yeah, so I'd assume he's probably going to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Especially with them in the negative, right? They're in negative $95 million in the cap next year. How can they even sign two?
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to move that, by the way.
Yeah.
Because if the salary cap stays flat, they're going to have to cut people, but they're still dead money. So they're going to have to get people to renegotiate somehow. But if you're any of these players that are potentially cap casualties next year, Matt Ryan or anybody on the Saints I don't think he's going to be a cap casualty.
Because they still have to pay.
Yeah, but I'm saying like a person, there's no way you can renegotiate your contract. Matt Ryan's owed like $100 million. It will be impossible to trade him. If I'm Matt Ryan, there's zero chance you get me to renegotiate that.
That was you guys' decision.
Fuck you.
Sorry.
$100 million? Yeah, okay. So maybe I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. And that's when I walked to the bank and see the amount of money that you guys are paying. Okay, I don't know how. There's going to be a lot of moves that are going to have to be made. I'll be intrigued to see how it all plays out. But Drew Brees being basically done after this year is something we all thought, but now it's kind of being reported about. Hell of a run by Drew.
Yeah.
Hell of a run.
Good run, Drew.
You did, Drew. Good riddance, is that what you said?
Yeah, good riddance. Get the fuck out of here.
Whoa, jeez. Why do you hate him so bad? You said he's pompous?
Yeah, he's a pompous asshole.
To you or to in general?
Well, you know, you look at like his interviews, his mannerisms, stuff like that. But yes, he was just a prick to me, actually.
Yeah, but you ride the back.
Yeah. I mean, I still have like a herniated disc up here from when he fucking put his elbow right into my back at Radio Row and, you know, dissed me, so.
So are you thinking that you're trying to get NBC money? Is that why you haven't sued yet? You're waiting for him to get to NBC?
Exactly.
To see how that herniated disc T1, T2 potentially is?
Ooh. And wait for him to say something stupid that pisses people off, and then boom, you slide right in then. It's like,
Had your shot.
I did.
You had your shot.
I was too busy dancing on his grave like Juju.
What was... What was that? 28 hours, 32 hours where Drew Brees was potentially never playing football again this past offseason.
Other teams were circling him on their calendar.
His own team.
Yeah.
His own team was circling him. It was like 32 hours, and then everything, you know, changed immediately on his social media very quickly. I assume he probably got a crisis management team.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and figure this out.
Smoothie King.
LeBron quote tweeted it.
Yeah. When Bron gets in there, you're in problems. Dude.
Look out.
You are in trouble. Rest in peace to Drew Brees' career.
Good career. Great quarterback.
Yeah, and all those records, too, they'll be broken.
At Tone Diggs tomorrow night. I don't know if they will be broken immediately, but. In due time.
Uh-huh.
Patrick Mahomes is just go ahead and...
15 years.
How you doing? Here I come. Drew Brees is just staring at... Drew Brees needs to pimp all his records whenever he retires, by the way.
He does every time.
Yeah, with his shoes and everything like that. But I'm saying he needs to pimp those as hard as possible because it is not going to be for too much longer before Patrick Mahomes starts climbing that thing.
Put some banners in the Superdome rafters of everything he's got.
Yeah, just enjoy the shit out of it because it's not his fault, by the way. At one point... Troy Aikman probably had a pretty good passing career with the way the NFL was. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he was passing like 16 times a game, 15 times a game, 17 times a game or whatever, like standard. Now you got guys throwing it 30, 40 times a game. All of those records are going to be changed. You know what I mean? All those records are going to be changed. Then like there's just as the rule. That's why there's so many asterisk that you need to put on all the records because as the game changes, like tight end records, I mean, those are all. Going to change.
Yeah.
Slot receiver records, those are all going to change. You're talking about everything. And defenses can't be held at the same standard as they were before. You know, there's just so much. There's so many, you know, qualifiers into every single conversation. But Drew Brees' records, to your point, Connor, they're probably going to disappear pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
I would assume they're going to disappear pretty quick. At Viva Lazito, what's the poll for the day, pal?
What in the hunt team would be the scariest to play in the NFL playoffs.
And you put the air per quotations around the Indy Hunt.
In the hunt, yeah.
Yeah, because you didn't title that. That's just how they are titled.
Exactly, yes.
Got it, okay. Yeah. And which four teams are they?
Right now, last, surprising, is Bears, 8.9. Raiders, I actually spelled it wrong. I apologize. I put the I in the wrong spot.
Raiders.
10.8%. Vikings, 16.8%. And Ravens, 63.6%.
What have you done for me lately? This Ravens team, if they play like they played on Monday night, problematic for everybody.
Oh, yeah. Poop game.
If they play potential poop game, alleged poop game, a lot of cramp game. Mm-hmm. If they play like the Ravens played for, I don't know, the 6 weeks before that, not very problematic. Now, granted, that Ravens team has not been able to be around each other much. There hasn't been much practicing. Harbaugh, you got to remember, he almost fought an entire team at one point. Yeah. There was leaks coming out of there that the players were potentially not happy. It was a much different vibe this year than it was last year for the Ravens. But if the Ravens are going to play like they played on Monday night, they are a problem.
Mm-hmm.
If Lamar's going to be dancing and pooping on you, that is going to be a problem. And I'm not saying he did that whenever he went in there. I'm just saying whenever he gets going, he's pooping and shitting all over you.
Yeah.
That's potentially problematic. Joining us now, ladies and gentlemen, man who's a running back from the University of Wisconsin. Go ahead and throw up the West Side or the Dubs, whichever way you want to do it. He has 414 yards in his last three games with the Indianapolis Colts of his rookie season. Ladies and gentlemen, Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah! There it is. Now we can hear.
Hey, was that Conti?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was.
It's the technology.
Yeah, well, Conti's a good dude, actually, and that's the only reason why we can talk shit on him on a national show, and it's okay. Before we get into, you know, Wisconsin potentially, you know, getting sandbagged this season by having their quarterback who had the best night in the history of college football basically on his opening night, and then he's told to go to prison for 21 days, can't even touch a football, then they come back. Before we get into that whole thing, because I know you got a lot of love for that, we have to talk about how you've been able to transition into this incredible NFL player through this season. Is it mental? Has it been physical? Has it been learning? What has it been, you think, that has made you really blossom here these last 3 weeks? Which, by the way, great news. This is when you should be playing your best football, and you seem to be doing that. What has it been this season that has got you to this point, you think, where you're dominant right now? You are absolutely dominant, JT.
It's definitely a mental aspect, especially when, you know, you come from a school where primarily you're under center, and then your last year you have a couple of schemes out of the gun. There's a lot of different schemes that require different timing, different tempo from the gun versus running that same scheme from underneath. So just realizing, you know, what scheme you're in, what set that you're in, and understanding the timing and the tempo. And it's something that takes reps. And apparently the year that we're having, you know, it's an unprecedented year, so it took a little bit more reps because we had some reps taken away from us in the offseason.
Yeah, I would assume that's a little bit difficult to get timing, especially, and nobody ever thinks about the running back's timing, by the way. Everybody thinks about wide receivers, tight ends. They don't think about the running back's timing because you're so close to each other. But whenever there's different steps you have to take for different, you know, schemes and shit like that, you don't even think about that. Earlier in the season, Phil Rivers was mic'd up. And he said 28 got the edge on you, I believe is what he said. 2-8 got the edge on you. It was to somebody on the Bears. But then also in that same game, he looked at you and he said, like, run his ass over. Like, he told you, I think that was his exact quote. He didn't say ass, by the way. He was like, run him over, basically. What has it been like with Phil? Has he been like that mentor? Is it like that every day, every game? Because what a human to kind of be able to pick the brain of in your rookie season here.
I mean, it's been amazing. I mean, when you play with a guy who's has 17 years of experience, there's pretty much not any look he hasn't seen. So no matter if he's talking to me or if he's talking to a receiver or an OC, if I ever hear him open his mouth, I'm lending an ear just a little bit because you never know. Something that he says could just rub off on you and you could utilize that on the field. So I'm always listening when 17 has his mouth open.
When you had early, did you think there was a chance? Because him saying run him over there or whatever, I don't know if the particular play that he was talking about there or what he was referring to. Did you think there was a chance when you came to the men's league, though, that, like, the you know, the hits would be much harder? Like, coming from college where you were so dominant, I mean, you just beat the shit out of people. It was awesome to watch. But when you come to the NFL, you got, like, you know, grown-ass men in this thing. Was there any thought in your mind about that, about how your body would be able to hold up against older men and anything like that? Or was it just the same thing at all times?
So really my mindset was coming in here, I'm going to change my training. Of course, you got to change your training in order to keep up, like you said, with you know, the 6, 7, 8 year vets that's been in this league. And so training, switching up your training, being able to build your body up physically is something that's definitely important. But then it's also guys are just playing faster. You know, they could be coming with the same amount of force and velocity, you know, as they did in college. But it's just the fact that they're playing a lot faster. So instead of that quick hesitation, once they see you have the ball, they're shooting it right now. So it's really a mental aspect of this game.
Man, what'd you change? You wanted to get bigger? Did you do a little bit more Olympic lift? What did you do?
I mean, one of the biggest things is really just protecting some of those key elements, shoulders. That's a big thing, you know, especially as a running back. You got to make sure you're taking shoulder days seriously. A lot of guys think, oh, you know, we got a shoulder back day. It's a light day. You got to take that very seriously, because when you take those many hits, you got to make sure you're able to go throughout that season.
You're splitting time right now with Nyheim Hines, who, friend of the show, also a parkour extraordinaire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What has your relationship been like with him? And has he taught you any triple McTwisties to do after you score a touchdown or anything like that?
I mean, Nyheim has been a tremendous help. I mean, the entire running back room has been a tremendous help. But Nyheim is always in my ear telling me things that he wish he knew when he was a rookie. And, you know, he just says he wants to pass on the information to make it a better experience for myself. And I just have a ton of respect for him, because he could have easily, you know, said, hey, he's a rookie, he'll figure it out, just like I had to. But instead, he wants to help not only me, but the entire running back room, so that, you know, we're at our best.
That's awesome. The offensive line is stacked, it feels like, over there. That was why one of the most desirable positions was to be the quarterback for the Colts, because of how good the offensive line was. And now it feels like the run game is becoming something that's being concentrated on with you two, especially with you getting the rock a lot more than you had been in the past with Naheem as well. The thought of that offensive line group, do they talk to you at all as a rookie? Do they, is there any conversations where they may be like, say like, hey, you got to do this when we do this, or is it just like all boosting, hey, we're here for you type stuff?
It's definitely a lot of communication going on. It's if we're getting a certain look that we, you know, didn't really go over in practice because, of course, you know, teams, this is the NFL, they're going to change some things up. And then they might ask a question, hey, would you rather for us to hook this guy, pin this guy? I mean, it's constant communication throughout the game. And I think that's what's been able to help the run game is us being able to be on the same page. So the timing, everything with the scheme is on point. And if we're all on the same page, then we should be able to execute to a T.
Anthony Costanzo is one of the most interesting humans of all time. Do you agree?
Oh, most definitely.
Oh, one of the most interesting. He's a brainiac who's this absolute animal who flips a switch into a psychopath when he plays football. And it's just, he's one of the most interesting people of all time. But then Quentin Nelson in there, Ryan Kelly, I don't know if he's in or out or whatever. But that they got a West Virginia guy. The whole offensive line, though, has been awesome to watch. I'm happy you guys are starting to kind of reap the benefits of their impressiveness with the run game. We're talking to Jonathan Taylor, running back for the Indianapolis Colts out of the University of Wisconsin. And we were thinking here a little bit before the show, and you can take this answer for, or this question for however you want. Do you find yourself, although you're in the middle of a playoff push and exploding onto the offensive rookie of the year conversation with how you've been playing and things are going well for the Indianapolis Colts, you're making good money, you know, and all that mm-hmm. stuff. Do you feel at all that because you left early from Wisconsin mm-hmm. and they get their quarterback sent to jail for 21 days because he got COVID, do you feel a little bit of responsibility for them not winning as many games this year because you're not yeah. there and you Ooh, left early?
That's a good question.
You know what I mean? Is it?
I mean, no one expected this kind of year. I mean, this year has been, everything has been out of whack. I mean, and I think that the only way you can kind of prepare for this type of year is understanding that the only way you get through it is with the guys around you. So I know the guys that are still there at that school. I know them well. Like you said, I left early, so I still had time with those guys. And I know it's a great group of guys there. So they'll be able to get through it. They're going to hang tough through it together. This is just one of those unprecedented years. I mean, everything is flipped upside down. And this is just something that we're going to have to power through and get ready to lock in next year and be able to go back to playing, you know, Wisconsin football when things aren't going haywire.
Hey, let's go. Yeah. Let's go. Hey, man, your run with them was awesome to watch, though. You know, because we're in Indianapolis at the Big East or the Big Ten Championships here. It was awesome to watch what you were able to do. Connor, what's good?
Jonathan, we've heard about the locker room games for the Colts. Have you been able to beat Phillip Rivers or Jacoby Brissett in any of them, or are they still running the table over there?
Good question.
Listen, it's a reason why you said those guys are running the table, because those guys, they run the table. And especially me being my first year, I got to make sure I work on my skill set, make sure that I'm ready to go. I got to pack a little bit more punch before I can take those guys down.
Smart. What are the games? Cornhole and basketball, right?
Yes, sir.
Jonathan, listen. I love that there's cornhole back into that building. There used to be awesome games. I mean, there used to be awesome games in that building. I'd assume there is still. Is it an active boards? Are the boards active?
Every single day.
Oh, my God. That was back when we were winning games, too. Oh, man. It's a big deal, by the way. That's a big deal. You kind of bring defense plays against offense. You got special teams in there. It's really like a camaraderie time where some teams are like, they should be watching film if they're in there. Okay, if they got enough time to throw goddamn cornhole, they got enough time to watch some film. It's like that's building a whole different aspect of a team, which, by the way, you can't really do in the same old fashion you used to be able to. You guys still can't eat lunch with each other, right, anything like that. As a rookie, how has it been kind of gelling into the team? Has it just been, I mean, you don't know any other way, but have you seen any obstacles in like kind of building camaraderie, or has the team figured that out from the jump?
You know, like I said, cornhole is definitely one way that guys have been able to build that camaraderie. You like eating lunch together. I mean, we're all spread out. So that's kind of tough unless you're shouting across the table, trying to talk to someone. So, and it, really out on the practice field is a lot when, you know, guys are building camaraderie, you know, being able to just chit chat, whether you're, you know, not in for a play or whether you guys are breaking it down after practice or before practice warming up. So we're trying to find times where we can still build that camaraderie while still following the rules, being safe and being smart, conscious of all those things we have to do.
Hey, it takes all of us, Jonathan.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It takes all of us. It never gets talked about because it can't be put into a number. But the team liking each other is the most important thing a part of a team. And you don't hear it from ESPN. You don't hear it on Fox. You don't hear it on NFL Network even. All you hear about is the points scored, the yards rushed, the 40 times, the this. A team being a team is one of the most important things. And that's why with all these COVID rules, it's such an interesting thing because you're seeing some teams kind of, you can tell that they've been able to somehow figure out, and other teams just kind of falling apart. Diggs, what do you got?
Jonathan, when you and Naheem were in the Wildcat formation, were you as shocked as we were that you actually got the ball, that he handed the ball off? Because it's a rarity when in the Wildcat, the running back is going to hand the ball off to another running back.
That is true. That's a touchdown.
I actually wasn't shocked. He told me in practice, he said, listen, if we get this look, which was the exact look that we got, he said, I'm just ride it a little bit longer, and then I'm going to hand it off. And I trust that you're going to beat him to the edge because I know that you're fast. So, I mean, it's something that we went over in practice multiple times. So when we got that look, we both knew what was going to happen on that play.
How do you keep yourself cool? Because Troy Polamalu, all right, Troy Polamalu, when I was with the Colts, he said he could sense an aura about me jogging on the field that we were potentially going to run a fake, and he decided to line up on the opposite side as he always does and ruin my life. Okay, Conti's there. You can fucking ask him about it. It was a long trip home. All right, that whole thing. But how do you, whenever you're standing back there and you and Naheem Hines are literally looking at the exact thing that you thought was going to come, is there a moment where you look at each other and go like, oh, hey, pretty fucking good that we did that. Is that, or how do you, is there no, like, what is it? You just got to play it cool. You got to kind of keep your cards to yourself or what?
I think the biggest thing you have to do is you got to remember all the small little details. Usually when you get a look and you know exactly what's going to happen, you might start smiling ear to ear inside of your head and you're like, okay, it's about to happen. And then that's when you can easily lose track of a small detail of the play that usually is routine because you think, oh, this is going to be a score. This is going to be a touchdown. So once that happens, you got to take a deep breath and remember all the small little details so that you're still able to execute at a high level.
How old are you?
21.
Man.
Damn.
That's like a super, like, wise thing. I think I was 27 when I was doing that. And if I saw something I liked, I was like, let's fuck. I wasn't even thinking about anything. I was like, let's go. This is going to be awesome. Jonathan, continue your dominance, pal. It has been absolutely awesome to watch as a Colts fan, as a former Colts player. Ballard got a great one. Obviously, that's what Chris Ballard does. And I hope you call Indianapolis home for a long time, brother.
Thank you so much, Pat. I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, no problem, man. We'll teach you how to play some cornhole, too, whenever, you know, the whole COVID thing goes down or whatever in the offseason. We appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, Jonathan Taylor. Yeah! Yeah! Joining us now is a college football champion and a Super Bowl champion, ooh, Mr. A.J. Hawk.
Yeah!
A.J., Cincinnati's getting screwed. Your boy Fickle's getting screwed. Anything you'd like to say about it?
I mean, yeah, I agree with you 100%. They are getting screwed, but that's kind of how the system is right now.
That's just how it is, you said?
Well, yeah, I mean, you go off of, we go off so much of what people have done in the past and, like, the success that they have had in the last 5-10 years, I guess.
Well, AJ, Ohio State's getting in with, what, 3 games played or something like that. So, I mean, that's just how it is, I guess. That's just how it goes or whatever, yeah. You look great today, by the way.
Yeah.
Do I?
Yeah, you look unbelievable. It's like good sweater in front
insane.
Of you. I mean, you look.
You shaved? Do you have a dinner tonight?
Yeah, this.
I feel very old right now in this. I got this thing at Target when I went to Chicago a couple weeks ago to do this. Oh, I spilled a whole cup of coffee on myself right when I got my rental car.
Well, you look very professional. It was a good purchase. Sometimes those are the best buys. Also joining us is a man who's on ESPN NFL Live every single day. He calls college games, has a wealth of knowledge. I would assume he's being asked to coach in the NFL daily at this point. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, former quarterback Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah!
Hey, boy, Dane!
Really appreciate you saying both of my names there. The actual one that's on my birth certificate and then the one that I get in social media all the time now.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about Dane Orlovsky. There he is. Yeah. There's Dane Orlovsky. Hey, Dan.
You had use on, so. No, legit, 20 times a day, Dane Orlovsky comes across my social media mentions, dude.
Let's put an end to that. Hey, no more.
No more. Stop. Yeah. Get
the
power off. Of Pat McAfee.
No. It's not us. I mean, we got a great group of people that follow us. We have no idea why, but we appreciate them. But I think we're all going to take a vote. No more Dane Orshlovsky, right?
Done
yeah.
with
no
it.
More. No
Done.
More Dane Orshlovsky. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. No more Dane Orshlovsky. The hey, Dan, we're just talking about college football there. We'll get into the NFL because, you know, that's where your bread is buttered for real with the brain thing. But you get to call college games every single week. Cincinnati's getting absolutely screwed. We'd like to know why you at ESPN will not speak up about it.
Well, I haven't watched Cincinnati this year, so I can't tell you, like, the quality of team that they are.
They're good.
Yeah, I think that they're good. You know, like, I think that they would get curb stomped by a team like Alabama, you know.
Every team's going to get curb stomped by Alabama next.
Nah, well, I think they would get curb stomped by Clemson.
Okay, well, all right.
Maybe.
All right, way to go. Okay, those two, go ahead. Go ahead, keep it going.
So, I mean, if we're talking the college football playoff, we're not talking, like, the top 10 teams, so that's 50% of those four that are going to get in. Are you going to tell me that you think that they're going to hang with, like, a Notre Dame or a Ohio State? Because I've seen Ohio State, and I've watched them live, and they are for real.
Okay, all right, just real quick. Do you think Cincinnati can hang with Indiana?
Not if Penix was healthy.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. You haven't even seen Cincinnati. So you just – this is what ESPN does, by the way. You haven't even watched them, and here you go. Here you go on an entire thing.
I've seen Indiana, and they are for real.
I think Cincy would hang with Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
UNC hung with Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, I believe. And listen, we love Indiana. We love Notre Dame, okay? We're just saying Cincinnati deserves some damn respect. I think go ahead.
But what more do you want respect-wise for them? Like, are you saying that you want them to have the respect of the College Football Playoff Committee and put them in four?
Yes.
Or do you want the respect of college football and put them in the top 10? What respect are you asking for?
I want them at five. I want them at five. That's where I want them at.
So you think that they are a better football team than Texas A&M or Florida?
Well, see what you just did there. You see, what you have done here is you've kind of nitpicked the entire, you know, like we agreed very heavily that we think Florida would potentially beat the hell out. But Texas A&M, I think Cincinnati gives them a game.
Yep.
I think it gives them a game. I do.
To Texas A&M?
I do, yeah. Let me tell you why. The Cincinnati team has athletes. It's like our West Virginia back in the day. Everybody thought our West Virginia team would get killed because we wouldn't be able to keep up speed-wise with the big schools or whatever. And we did. And we won. And we kept it moving. This Cincinnati team reminds me of our team. Now, granted, Alabama, I don't think so. Alabama, I think they're going to beat everybody by a lot, by the way, because I think Mac Jones and Sarkisian's offense is unbelievable, and the defense is really good. Clemson's Clemson. Without Trevor Lawrence, it was tough to judge them. Now he's back. They're a whole different team. But whatever you talk about some of those other teams, Texas A&M, Georgia, I think Cincinnati beats Georgia, by the way. Go ahead and put that one down. Not every year. This year, I think they do with the moment.
Texas A&M? Texas A&M's defense is – as fast as I've seen a college defense have in 2 or 3 years.
You haven't seen a Cincinnati defense. Hey, somebody's at your door telling you need to stop talking about things you haven't seen. You haven't seen Cincinnati's team play. You actually said that.
Have you seen Texas A&M play?
Yes, I have. I saw them steal wins from people, by the way. By the way, doesn't matter how you win. They steal wins, though. Texas A&M does.
Dude, their defense is a head and shoulders above a Cincinnati offense.
You haven't seen Cincinnati.
Come on.
You have not seen
No, I haven't studied Cincinnati. I did not have their game. I haven't studied.
Okay, so everything you just said, let's talk about what you have studied, the NFL, okay? And AJ and I got questions. The boys do, too. Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Dan, you were very early on the Josh Allen's the MVP of the NFL train, you know? I think your exact quote was, he's better than Aaron Rodgers. He's better than Patrick Mahomes. He might be better than Peyton Manning if Peyton Manning was still playing right now. That's what you said early. He kind of disappeared. The Dan Wagon went elsewhere. Now he is reemerging back in there. That has to be a little bit of a sense of, like, feel good for Dan Orlovsky there.
Yeah, he's went full Undertaker mode after that 3-week kind of, you know, vacation from the top of the rankings. Just to clarify, I never said he was better than any of those previous players that you mentioned.
Chad Brown.
That's right. Chaddy Brown.
But, oh, sorry, you're right. You did.
I think it's probably a two-man race right now for the MVP, you know, with 12 and 15. But Josh is playing really good. I think his offensive coordinator will be a head coach next year, Dable. I think the greatest thing for Josh is, like, the brain is caught up with the talent. You know, his physical talent is absolutely out of this world, but his brain is kind of catching up, and he's playing quarterback now than just throwing the ball. So That's a tough team. I said 7 weeks ago it was the only team I thought that could beat the Chiefs, and I still feel that way. I don't think they will, but I think it's the only team that can.
Huh. Hey, Dane, where do you think Carson Wentz plays next year?
I hate the fact that you call me Dane right there. I like playing the game of, like, the unrealistic stuff. You know, like, I don't – let's say he can't be in Philly. I know the money and the picks and all that stuff. I could 100% see him in Indy at the top of the list. I know that would tick McAfee off. A lot of people think – listen, a lot of people think that there's a lot of a built-up animosity between him and that organization in Philly. I think a lot of people think that he misses Frank Reich as a human more than just a play caller. I think a lot of people feel that Carson Wentz feels betrayed, and the only person in the NFL that he trusts is Frank Reich. So, you know, I think he would try to get there if they were going to move on from Philip. I could see San Francisco. I could see Pittsburgh. I could see
Pittsburgh.
Detroit.
Coming to town.
It was probably the top four teams.
Let's talk about Detroit then. You, Chad Brown reported this morning on 104.3 The Fan in Denver that Kevin Kissinger said that Chad Brown reported that Detroit is moving on from Stafford. Okay, so that means he would have to have an in with the Ford family if he is saying that he's hearing that, because that I believe those are the only people making decisions at this point. What do you think is a realistic future for Matthew Stafford as a guy who knows Matthew Stafford, knows the Lions organization, and who do you think will be the be calling the shots over there moving forward?
Yeah, 100% the Lions need to move on from Stafford.
Okay, oh, 100%. The Detroit bloggers are – that was Dane – sorry – that was Dan Orlovsky that just said that to the Detroit bloggers that are coming after us for reporting what Chad Brown said.
Sorry. Dude, it's time. It's time. He was there for 12 years. It didn't work. It didn't not work because the quarterback, it just didn't work. Like, they have to move on. He has to move on. They got to blow it all up and start over again. You know, this is not a team that, you know, is a top five draft pick away from making a run. Like, they got some holes to fill. So Stafford needs to be moved. He needs to move on for the rest of his career. Who do I think will be calling the shots? I would look really hard at Robert Saleh as a head coach, me personally. I think we've fallen in love with just X's and O's at head coaching in the NFL, and it's created a lot of issues. You got to have a lot more than just that. I also think if I was hiring a head coach, I want him to be attached in some capacity to the Mike Shanahan offensive philosophy. And Robert Saleh's bringing Matt LaFleur's brother as an offensive coordinator. I think that's the likely guy that he would choose. And I want that offense in the NFL right now. So that's who I would, you know, lean on as head coach. Where do I think Stafford would go?
Indy.
I think a lot of the teams that I just named, but I also believe that if Arthur Smith, who's the Titans offensive coordinator, goes somewhere, wherever he goes, I could see Matthew Stafford going.
What about – okay, so – when you talk about these X's and O's, we fall in love with X's and O's. What does that mean? Like, what kind of problems has that created? I know Michael Lombardi talks about that. Like, we're hiring play callers and not coaches. Like, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, because everyone fell in love with Sean McVay, and I think he's one of the brightest X's and O's minds in football. I was with Sean. He's exponentially better at, like, leadership, people skills, organizing, foresight, flexibility. Laying out exactly what a player needs to succeed.
Really?
Vision. Like, I think that we lost sight of how important accountability, transparency. Like, we lost sight of that as a league in some aspects, that's the most important attributes of a coach. Now, if he's really good with X's and O's, then he becomes a unicorn. Like, then he becomes one of the top 5, 6, 7 guys in the league at what he does. But if he's just really good at X's and O's, but doesn't have the ability to have accountability and transparency and foresight, and he doesn't have great people skills, and he can't see the game 3 or 4 steps ahead, both when it comes to X's and O's, but his football team, then he's going to fail as a head coach in the long run. And I think that, like, guys like Mike Vrabel and Mike Tomlin and Andy Reid, those guys were capable with that skill set, and then also were really good with the X's and O's.
Are you now? it was rumored last year, and nothing got confirmed, that your name was up for a coaching gig or two. Lewis Riddick is now interviewing with the Texans today. I'll let Chris Mortensen, and then the Lions on Friday or whatever. Is ESPN, do you guys just like, whenever you guys are sitting in the green room eating your kale salads or whatever you guys are doing, do you guys just like talk to each other about how we're going to go on and coach and GM somewhere? Is that just something that happens naturally? Or why is that? Because you saw Mayock, you saw Gruden, you see a lot of TV people kind of go in there. Is that a dream of yours? And is that something that is known whenever you guys are talking behind the scenes?
Yeah, it's something that's always on my mind. I don't know if it's a dream. I think it'd be cool to be a general manager one day. You know, I think that'd be a lot of fun to have your fingerprint all over an organization. I think being a coach would be amazing as well. I think that's always in my mind. Dude, I don't know, like you go from playing and then a lot of times the people that go into television are ex-players. And then when they get maybe tired of television, when they crave the competition, they crave the being part of a team and the camaraderie, they might start to, the interest of being in a coach or a front office person might start to gear up as well. So I think that a lot of guys just miss the locker room and kind of the feeling of being a part of something. That's why they leave television.
Hey, if you were the head coach, Dan, would you call the offensive plays?
I'd have to be like, look at myself in the mirror and feel like if I was doing myself a disservice, like doing our team a disservice, I wouldn't, you know, like if I felt like I could own our football team when it came to like doing my job and kind of, you know, doing the process of being their head coach and leader, I would do it. It had to be dependent on who my defensive coordinator was. Like if I had a defensive coordinator I thought was really good, I would lean more towards it, but initially probably not.
That's a shame. Because if I'm head coach, I'm calling plays. I never played offense in my life. Yeah. What do you got, Connor?
Dan, I haven't said anything disparaging about you in quite some time, actually, since you've been on the show last, so just want to clear that up. And also, who's going to play quarterback for the Patriots next year?
I really appreciate that, man.
No problem. I didn't even call you the other name, Dane Orshlovsky.
Come on. That was very nice of
you. Did you start that? Was that?
No. I'm not. I can't create something that cool.
No, the internet.
Yeah.
Can you verify that you haven't said anything disparaging?
I got receipts.
Appreciate that, bud.
Boner Garage created Dane Orshlovsky, by the way. Boner Garage.
420.
I'll give you a bunch of options.
Well, we don't need that, Dane.
No, I just want to know who the one guy is going to be.
Yeah, we need who you think is going to be there.
I'm looking at a bunch of teams right now.
Just say Stafford.
Patrick.
Do your research.
I think that the Patriots are going to draft Zach Wilson out of BYU.
Wow. Come on. We talked about him just yesterday. Aaron's a big fan of his. Aaron Rodgers is a big fan of his, even though the kid took a shot at his swag or whatever. It feels like a lot of people like him. Did you watch him in that Coastal Carolina game?
I don't think he played great. I don't think he played great. But, dude, like Coastal Carolina does a lot of weird stuff, and you only got 2 days to prepare for it. Like, that's hard on a quarterback. I can't imagine like going half to play against like a guy like Rex Ryan in 2 days. You'd be all over the world. So I just know he's custom made to play quarterback in the NFL right now.
What's going on in your house right now, man? All hell breaking loose?
Just an average afternoon, man. This is what happens when you got four kids.
So whenever you're in your office, I guess, is where you do your ESPN hits. You got dress up on top, shorts on the bottom, and then as soon as you leave that room, all hell breaks loose in the house, and then you just go back in.
I actually did a Sports Center hit today in a girdle because I went right from there to working out. Got a full body workout in today, bud.
Wow.
30-minute sweat session.
Hey, no big deal. How you doing? Keep it moving. Also, probably to stay away from the kids for a little bit longer. Diggs, what do you got?
Dan, are you a Taysom Hill guy or a Jameis Winston guy?
Here we go.
Fudge, dude.
Smooth, by the way, somehow.
Like
fudge, dude.
Probably a Jameis Winston
guy. Right now.
I've seen enough of Taysom Hill. Like I've seen enough flat routes go into the, you know, go to the receiver's feet. Like, you know, I think he's a nice player and he does a lot, but like at some point for you to be the quarterback of the 2 seed of the playoffs, or for me to think that you're a bona fide option next year, like we got to get better throwing the football. So I think that Jameis should be very, very much so ready early on in this football game this weekend.
They're paying him $16 million next year, Taysom. You think he just goes back to his role as a guy that just does everything? And then do you think Taysom or Jameis are going to definitely be the answer next year? Or do you think Sean Payton's legitimately using time right now to see whether or not Taysom Hill is that Steve Young guy? Because 2 weeks ago in his third game, or last week, I guess, in his third game starting, he looked like an NFL quarterback. He was getting back. The ball was getting out on time. He was throwing it into tight windows, realizing that that's what open is in the NFL. And then this past week, it looks like he went backwards again. I feel like I have no idea if Taysom Hill is a good quarterback or not. Like, I assume he's a bad quarterback, but he had moments of greatness there too, where you're like, can you judge him when he only has this amount of time? I guess you have to if you're Sean Payton.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a bad spot next year anyway with their cap. They're like $80 million on like over the cap. They're negative 77 or something. So, you know, that brings into the conversation of, you know, they're a team that I could see, you know, getting a young quarterback or one of these guys, that, like a Sam Darnold, that'd be moved on from.
Ooh.
So,
oh, Matty Stafford. Nah, they won't be able to afford him.
I don't know. Like, if you got to – if here's my thing with – because I'll answer the Saints question first. Like, there's nothing that Taysom has done that tells you, yes, he's the quarterback of the future. I don't know if you're ready to say no. Like, you still need more of a body of work, but there's nothing that you could point to and say absolutely. And Jameis hasn't played. Like, he hasn't played, and so you have no idea if he's actually grown under Sean Payton. I think teams like – here's where I am, because I throw the Saints in this. Like, the Saints, the Steelers, the Bears, like, dude, they're going to have a pick somewhere between 20 and 30. If you want a quarterback, do you feel better throwing that first round pick at like Mac Jones, or Kyle Trask, or do you feel better getting Sam Darnold for it? That's where I stand on that.
Definitely Kyle Trask or Mac Jones over Sam Darnold. But whenever you're talking about potential, what's that, dude? Your eyes just got really big when I said that.
There's no way that you're giving a first round pick for Mac Jones and Kyle Trask over Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I just think he stinks.
Well, there is a way.
Yeah, you're wrong.
I'm wrong.
Yeah. What makes you think he stinks, Pat?
I have no idea.
Because he struggled for Adam Gase?
Yeah, I just said it. I just said it because you like him. So I said it strictly to do that. I know nothing about him. I try not to watch any Jets games. It's better for my overall health and everything like that. But it is. I do feel like Sam Darnold has not gotten a fair shake, especially if you see how Tannehill has played out and all that stuff. But I thought I could get you going a little bit there. What's up, Ty?
Dan, when you look at the Bucs, them coming off a bye, they kind of looked – I mean, they didn't look great. Are they a threat going forward in the NFC, do you think? Or is it basically just the Packers' time to win that next Lombardi for Raj?
Yeah, not a threat right now. They looked exactly the same as before their bye week. Everyone has gone like, oh, they used motion at a higher percentage. This is why sometimes I want to fist fight numbers people. All due respect to the numbers people.
All due respect.
Because they're like, they upped their pre-snap motion by 10%. Yes, guys, they snapped the ball 48 times. So if they ran four more motion plays in that game, there you go. Everything's hard for their offense. Like, everything is hard. There's nothing easy. I can't put them above Green Bay, New Orleans, Seattle. There's another team in there.
Rams.
Green Bay, New Orleans.
Rams.
Who?
Rams.
Yeah, I can't put them above those four. Honestly, they're like the Giants. Like, whoa, good defense. Yes. Quarterback just has to play really good because there's not much given to him that's easy.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are like the New York Giants.
Yes. Holy shit.
Nick, what were you going to ask about, pal?
Dan, is it too late in the season for the Steelers' offense to get right, or do they just stink now?
They stink, huh?
Yeah, I mean, dude, like, here's the thing. You guys know this. You can't do anything on offense if your offensive line isn't good. Their offensive line is not good right now.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
And everyone's like, well, they don't run the ball enough. Watch what happens when they run.
They don't get any yards.
They're not a good offensive line right now. They've gotten old real fast. And that's why they're throwing it so much. It was really good early on because they were getting some of the wide receiver run to supplement their run game. They've gotten away from that a little bit. They just don't have any foundation. That means they can't bring anything of value offensively. Still a good team. But they're not making any type of playoff run that's significant with their offensive line.
Uh-oh.
No. Lombardi isn't coming to town. Hate to break it to you. Win 11 doesn't matter. What do you got, AJ?
Hey, Dan, you mentioned the Bears. Now, what do they look like next year, like as far as coaching staff, front office, and the team? Like, what about Mitch Trubisky? Is he going to be there? And if not, where would he go?
Thanks, AJ.
Yeah, Mitchell should not be there. I don't think he will. I think they'll blow that place up for the most part. You know, Ryan Pace takes Mitchell Trubisky, and we all know, like, what else happened in that draft.
Yeah,
okay, well, you took him, so he's your pick, and then you chose the coach to develop him in Matt Nagy. So it was a bad pick, and then it was a bad pick for the coach, and then there's a lack of development. So the general manager swung and missed. I'll credit for him for swinging, but he swung and missed on the pick, and then he certainly swung and missed on the coach. There's just been no development out of Mitchell Trubisky. The same stuff that I would watch 2 years ago that he would do, that I would sit there and be like, if he just fixes this, there's some traits there. Like, if he just fixed his feet, that would be better. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if in his drop he was more deliberate, that would be better. If he had more eye discipline, that would be greater. If they used him on the perimeter more, that would be – they don't do that. So, like, at some point, you got to admit, like, the coach is failing the player and the player hasn't gotten himself better. And I think that's where the Bears are right now. And as good as their defense is and as young as they have some young pieces, I don't think that they can go forward with another year of Mitchell Trubisky and Matt Nagy.
Yeah, it's a circle of suck over there. Whenever you do this, you do this, and it just continues to go south there. Dan, what time is NFL Live? 4 o'clock ESPN?
4 o'clock Eastern, ESPN.
What are you talking about today? Anything?
Yeah, I'll give you the rundown right here, champion. Hey. We're going to talk about the Washington football team and old Jack Del Rio and the Seahawks.
Smart.
I'm going to put somebody new on the Dan wagon. You know,
nice.
Get off the tracks when the Dan wagon's coming through. It'll move swiftly.
Let you guys figure out who that is. Mm-hmm. I think he's the best player in football that doesn't play quarterback. We're going to talk about them Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Travis
Kelce. We're going to talk about the Bills. Travis Kelce. Is a potential upset against the Denver Broncos.
Are you going to dance on the graves of you predicting Josh Allen?
No. We're just upset alert. Tua, we'll talk about Tua going against New England, and then what the Packers do that no one talks about enough.
Hey, can't wait to hear you and the group. It's a great show every day. We appreciate you for joining us. Tell the kids thanks for stopping by on the show as well.
Later, dudes.
Oh, hey. Ladies and gentlemen, New Orlovskis. See you later.
Yeah. Have a good one.
Thank you, Dane.
Snow day.
It is snow day. I think every day is snow day. They probably don't go to school.
Yeah.
Oh. Your kids in school? They go to the bus and everything in Ohio?
Well, they're in school, yeah, because we switched their school. So, yeah, my two oldest go.
Whoa. Oh, so yeah. One school said, don't come. You got to teach them at home. And you guys said, okay, cool. Your yins aren't going to school there anymore. And then you found a school that is taking kids. That's what you did?
Absolutely.
Smart.
Hey, remember those friends you had? You don't have those friends anymore. Make new ones.
Hey, those friends are going to be socially awkward because they're not going to get a chance to talk to kids because they're doing class at home all goddamn day. That's not going to be you. You're going to be able to talk circles around those friends in about a year or two. Don't you worry about that. We're going to take you over here. Was it a two-hour delay this morning?
No, because of snow, you're saying?
Yeah.
No, we barely – I mean, we got a tiny bit, nothing serious.
Oh, we got like 2-3 inches here, but it was like real snow. Normally Indiana gets bad snow. It's like not even fun snow, can't even throw snow or pack snow. It got some real packing snow today. It was thick, caused some problems on the roads, obviously. But I think the Northeast got like half a foot, T's and P's to everybody. But I thought it was going to be a big two-hour delay day, but then I remembered no kids are really in school unless your parents took you out of one school and put you in another school.
True.
It's kind of the way it goes nowadays. What do you think about Dane? Why'd you call him that? That was pretty disrespectful right to him right there.
No, it wasn't. I think it's I think it's showing ultimate respect when you call somebody by a different name.
Tristan Tarkatar.
Yeah, but we had literally just got done talking about how he didn't want it anymore.
Well, it shows like, I got a personal connection with this guy. Like, I can't – if somebody I don't know at all and I don't like, I can't go call them some random name.
So sorry to interrupt. I want to let you know that Burrow offers the easiest, most convenient way to get a comfortable new sofa delivered right to your door. And it's not just sofas, Ty.
Really?
Yeah, all Burrow furniture is thoughtfully designed for function and practicality and designed to go perfectly together. It's foolproof furniture, high quality, stylish, and built to make your life easier.
That's perfect.
Yeah, it's practical and adaptable. Assemble a Burrow sofa by yourself without any tools or help in just minutes.
Minutes?
Minutes. Add seats or rearrange them from love seat to sofa to sectional and even back.
Wow.
Wow. It's built for real life. It includes thoughtful features like a built-in USB charger.
Huge.
Need that.
Mm-hmm.
Need that. It's made from durable materials that resist stains and scratches. Their durable fabric options now include performance velvet.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Customize everything to create your dream sofa. Choose the color, fabric, arm style, leg style, size, and shape of your seating. Attach the chaise lounge addition to any seat or go with a floating ottoman. Whatever tickles your fancy. There's more than sofas. Burrow also offers clever storage-focused coffee tables, modular, easy-to-hang wall shelves, credenzas, and benches. Those credenzas.
I've been looking for a new credenza.
Renters can build it with no tools, and it's easy to move wherever you want to go. If you have a commitment phobe, no big deal. They change styles, assemble, move, rearrange. If you have a walk-up, if you live in a walk, no carrying a full couch up and down the stairs. Pets and families, no big deal. It's scratch and stain resistant. Anyone who wants stylish quality furniture but doesn't know where to start needs to go to Burrow.
Go to Burrow.
Right now, you can save an extra $75 off your purchase by going to burrow.com/McAfee. That's burrow.com/McAfee for $75. Off.
That's a hell of a deal.
That's a hell of a deal. Back to the show. From the Athletic and Stadium, ladies and gentlemen, Sham Sharani. Sham, do you cut your own hair? You got to cut your own hair. It is always an incredible fade every single time you join us. You look amazing.
I wish I could take credit, man, but I don't do my own hair.
Well, you look damn good. I appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. Basketball is happening already. What are we in right now? What should I be looking forward to? We're in preseason right now. How long is this? Are real players playing? What's going on in the NBA?
It ends on the 19th, so the end of preseason is coming up here, and then we're going to have a couple days in between. The regular season tips off on the 22nd, but, I mean, the two things that I was really monitoring over the last week or so, and one of them is still going to go on, but the Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, whether he would sign it or won't sign it, he ended up agreeing to the deal yesterday. And then the thing that's really, I think, clouding around the league now is the James Harden saga, which, you know, he suited up for the Rockets last night. He's going to play for the foreseeable future until they have a deal that's on the table. And right now, I don't see anything that makes sense for the Rockets within sight. But again, these things can change. We'll see how fluid it becomes. As you guys see, I just got a call right there. So
yeah, answer it. Do what you got to do. Who is it?
No. I'm not going to answer it yet.
Oh!
I can't even see. He doesn't even tell me. I wish I could.
Oh, did we just bury his whole career?
Oh,
hey,
no.
Call back. You can call back.
We're good.
If you miss it, though.
Oh no.
Shit. Your own fault. Fuck it. Your own fault. I'm not. You could have left. We gave you the option. Now, the Giannis thing, you wrote an incredible piece for The Athletic about how the kind of the twists and turns of that entire thing, because down at the bubble just, what, a few months ago, it feels like maybe a month ago, the conversation was he was going to go to Miami, he was going to potentially go somewhere else, but now that they lock him down for 5 years with $228 million, the biggest contract in NBA history, there's still a thought that he could potentially not end up there? Is there people on Supermaxes have left or got traded before?
I mean, this is the first time a Supermax player, you know, obviously the biggest contract in league history. There have been players that have signed Supermax before. Russell Westbrook, he got traded on his with the Thunder. Steph Curry also signed for his a few years ago for $201 million in, I believe, 2018. So guys have signed for the Supermax, have gotten traded. This is the first, obviously, major contract, over $220 million, ended up at $228.2. And as I wrote and as I've reported, this wasn't an easy decision for Giannis. He got this offer on the table formally on December 5th. He just now agreed to this deal over 2 weeks later. And so for him, he really needed to be sold by the Milwaukee Bucks. They really grinded this out. This took multiple meetings with ownership and his agent, Alex Tsiratsis, to figure out, is this ownership group, is this franchise really committed to doing what Giannis wants to do most? And that's winning. He wanted to stay with the Bucks, and there was always this thought around the franchise that if they didn't find a common ground on an extension this year, and if Giannis left open the window for him to leave as a free agent, you know, they might need to look around and see, you know, and do what's best for the franchise, because the last thing you want is an asset that you're going to lose in 1 year. And if they felt like there was a chance that Giannis was leaving, I do believe that that window was open for them to look around the league. Obviously, didn't need to come down to that. He decided to take that extension, but Giannis wanted to see their vision, wanted to know that they wanted to win, and you saw the moves that they made this summer. You bring in Jrue Holiday, you make trades, you make signings across the league. They unfortunately were not able to get Bogdan Bogdanović, but they still, I think, recovered as well as they could.
Okay, so the NBA is such an interesting one because, as you just laid out there, there has been people who have signed Supermaxes to their team and then said, all right, I'm getting the fuck out of here. And you talked about how Giannis wanted to see the team's vision before he signed on. Hilarious. Love that. I wish NFL players could do that. But now it's coming out, and there's a bunch of sources with James Harden, the other story that you talked about that you've been covering. You know, James wants out of Houston or whatever. They offered him, whatever, $200 million. He said, no, I don't want it. And now it's coming out that he's – and it feels like the Houston Rockets are trying to do a little PR control here about how they've treated James Harden, because James Harden wanting out of Houston is probably not a good look for the Rockets or whatever. So now it's coming out he's had control over every decision since 2012, they're saying, behind closed doors. Then more stories are coming out, like if there was any time off, James Harden was flying somewhere to party, then he would come back and he would do a 50-point triple-double or whatever, which, by the way, if that was to make him look bad, it didn't. That made me look even, made him look even better. Now he's demanding that trade. He looks not like James Harden would look. I'm not saying he potentially put on 20 to 30 in the last month or so, but he looks like a different player. And now he still wants out of there, but they're going to start their games here. He's showing up. What does he have to do? Just not give effort? Like, how will this play out in a harmonic fashion at all? And who would want to play alongside James Harden? Like, I've heard that their asking price is a couple ones and something else for that. Teams haven't had much success when James Harden is the focal point, right? Like, the Houston Rockets have not won the entire thing. It always seems like they lose to a good team. Does James want to change his style of play? How does that whole situation end up, you think?
Yeah, so James Harden's going to have to remain professional. You know, the one thing about him is he loves playing basketball, and this is his occupation, and he's going to go about things a way that's not normal for most NBA players, right? He spends time in Atlanta, in Las Vegas, and for a lot of people around the Rockets, that was James Harden being James Harden. You know, across the last few seasons, he's taken a few days, you know, to travel out of town when he's not, you know, when they have a few off days. I don't, you know, that was part of James Harden, and it still, you know, may be part of James Harden's routine. Of course, we're living in a different time right now. We're dealing with the pandemic, and I think that was one of the major reasons why that was, you know, a bad look for a lot of people around the league. They looked at James Harden, you know, at a club or at this location without a mask on, and you look at it in a different way, given what's going on in the country. But James Harden will be professional. He'll play, and it's not, out of the norm for a player of his stature to have control over practice timings or over, you know, different things around the team. To me, that is pretty much normal as far as what superstars, you know, what's at their leisure. But at the end of the day, the Rockets aren't going to just make a bad deal. They're going to have to wait out this market. I don't think there's a deal on the table right now that they would take. Clearly, there isn't. If you're the Rockets, do you wait out if Ben Simmons becomes available in Philadelphia? That might be the number one trade chip potentially that you can acquire.
He can shoot now, right? He can shoot a basketball now, right? Can he shoot?
He didn't shoot. I don't know if he shot any threes last night, but I do know he's trying to become more accustomed to shooting those threes. But
he was an NBA guy that couldn't shoot a basketball, right?
Yeah.
He was just so athletic that that's how he made it to the NBA, and then they had to teach him how to shoot. Isn't that what happened with him?
He's. I mean, listen, to be an all-NBA player and not be able, you know, to have a reliable jumper, I mean, to me speaks to it, what he brings to the table. He's able to play high-level defense, all-NBA defensive team. So I think Ben Simmons is probably the number one guy that you can go out and get, right? If you're, you know, the four teams that he's open to a trade, you're looking at Brooklyn, Miami, Milwaukee. Milwaukee, I'm told, is unlikely to make a run at James Harden. Brooklyn does not have the package that suits Houston's needs. And if you look around, Philadelphia, that is a potential spot if they can get Ben Simmons.
You're the best, Shams. I feel like I just learned everything I need to. Lakers are going to win again?
It says poor connection, so I don't know if you guys can see me. Hopefully you guys can.
Oh, yeah, we can.
I think they're the favorites. I think they've made their team as best, you know, as much as you can improve a team after a championship. They've done it. I do think they're my favorites right now.
Shams the best. Shams, you're the absolute best.
Yeah, Shams, are we going to see fans in the stands this year, or is that off the table?
Golden State, they said they were doing something, weren't they?
So right now I think we're going to have 6-7 teams that are going to open up with fans, right? I think Orlando is going to do 4,000 fans in the arena. You're going to have teams around the league do 1,000, 2,000, 1,500. I do think by April, May, June, that is when the NBA expects vaccines to be available for the general population. And when that's the case, I think you're going to see a flurry of teams try to bring in fans, because that's 40% of the league's revenue.
Is that what – did you just break some news there? So April, May, June, we should be expecting a vaccine available for most population?
The general population vaccine, the NBA, and a lot of different medical experts that I've spoken to, and that they've made clear to the professional leagues, around April to June, they do expect general population.
Okay.
All right.
My birthday's May.
Ooh.
Yeah, man.
There you go.
Happy birthday. Go to the Pacers game.
I won't. I'll go to the Bulls game. I'm becoming a big Bulls guy.
Yeah.
I'm becoming a big Bulls guy.
Let's go.
Bulls sent me a full gift package here. The Bulls are recruiting me to be a fan of their team.
They love you.
I'm like, listen, hey, let's do it, man. Is Benny the Bull still running around? Is Benny the Bull on IR? Is he going to be allowed to perform?
I would not expect it. I think they're keeping everything. Most teams
are
essential as possible. So I would not essential. Expect that.
He is essential. Shams, can't thank you enough, dude. You're the absolute best. Can't wait to see what news you break that you missed originally on our show earlier. So we appreciate it. Shams.
Let's go, Shams.
Basketball, it's kind of interesting because there's so many games and none of them really matter. If you're going to go for a night out or whatever, it's kind of what it is. It's something good if you're in an NBA city or whatever. But at the end, I just need to know he said Lakers are going to win it all. All right, that's good. All right, that's all I need to know. That's the team I'm cheering for this year then. Them and the Bulls. Cheering for the Lakers and the Bulls. We're going to win a championship and I'm going to go hopefully see Benny the Bull fucking running around. What's going on?
Similar to what Shams said, the MLB said that they're going to not start their league until probably May when all their players can be vaccinated.
And similar to the MLB and the NBA, they did a bubble. NFL says no bubble for playoffs.
Not doing it.
By the way, that rumor was started and whatever we heard it, by the way. Our job is to talk about rumors, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Guy named Jeremy in Detroit, go ahead and take a fucking hike, dude.
See ya.
All right, bro. Okay, just take a hike, dude. You're a hero, all right? I just want to let you know you're a hero.
Kick rocks.
But there was a rumor that the NFL was potentially going to make a bubble around the NFL playoffs. And we talked about it on this show, and I got 10 text messages from coaches and players, former teammates and friends of mine, that all said, stop with the bubble talk, Pat. Okay? Don't even fucking put it out there. So I just want to say this. We were big proponents of the bubble in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
We were supporters of this because it takes all of us.
It takes all of us.
And these NFL guys, they're not going out to any dinners with their family. Wow. Okay. They're doing no holidays with anybody. Can't even go get food with your girlfriend or your lady if it's their birthday because it takes all of us, NFL players.
Right.
And if there's a rumor you guys are going to be bubbled because you guys don't understand that you're not allowed to go breathe air outside.
No.
You're not allowed to walk your dog.
Absolutely not.
You think you're a human? Absolutely not. You are an NFL football player.
Amen.
So whenever that bubble has come, listen, we need playoff football.
We need playoff football.
It's a winter. There's 6 inches outside.
Yeah.
Everywhere. We need playoff football. So the NFL says no bubbles needed. We're like, I guess, dude. I guess. Could you imagine how fucking miserable that would have been for everybody?
You got
through all season. Okay, think about the teams. There's some teams in the playoff now that have had zero COVID situation. I guess the Seattle Seahawks are the only team, but there's been a lot of teams that have controlled the whole thing there. And if they get to the playoffs with the most important games, okay? All right, now, go stay in this hotel down here. You guys are going to practice on like a 30-yard field out here, and then you guys are going to do this thing. It would have been really incredible to see how the NFL would have been able to set that up for how big it was. And the players, I think, they've taken on a lot of ownership of this entire thing.
Yeah.
There was a couple scares. There was a couple outbreaks. Congrats to the NFL for being able to shuffle the games to get us to where we're at. Now, we aren't out of the woods yet.
No, there's still
some things that could pop off. But it feels like to get to this point, why would you change it to get to the playoffs then? If there hasn't been an extended week or anything like that, why would you change it? You already got here. And I think the NFL ran into two big problems. You're right. If it's not broke, don't fix it. And also, we would have to build a city to be able to do this for the NFL, and we just can't fucking do that. So I think that is why the bubble for the playoffs has been ruled out completely.
Bubble will be miserable, but could you imagine watching your team play a playoff game with the quarterback who may not be able to play because he has COVID?
Yeah, it's going to happen.
I mean, it's
but the bubble isn't necessarily going to win. The bubble isn't necessarily going to be foolproof.
No.
I mean, I remember the NBA, much smaller operation. They had the entire thing. They had, DoorDash drivers just running in the thing, in the entire thing. So, now granted, has the bubble been foolproof for the MLS, I believe, for the NBA and everything like that? I guess it got them through a season. But who says with the vast, how big it has to be with the NFL bubble, that it would be 100%? I just don't know if at this point we know enough about, you know, the Rona to be able to say that it would be 100%. But it would suck for a team. You get to the AFC Championship game, NFC Championship game, and you got, what was his name? Keenan Gilden.
Oh, yeah. Keegan Hilden.
Keegan Hilden playing quarterback for your guy who hasn't taken a snap since his junior year of college at Wake Forest, which is a known pass happy team.
Oh, yeah.
You know
oh,
what
yeah.
I mean? That would be wild. Potentially going to happen, but that's what a boy's got to remember. Takes all of us.
Takes all
it
us.
Does.
Don't even think about going out for any birthday celebrations. Nope. Those are canceled, okay?
Stay home.
Those are canceled this year.
And to your point, we do need to commend teams like the Jets and the Bengals for sticking with it. I mean, stink. They get the doors blown off every week, and they keep getting tested. They keep making sure these games go off without a hitch.
Because there's some college teams that got their asses beat. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, they just rest of their games are canceled because of COVID. It's like their players, they're being told, hey, you guys aren't allowed to go to that party. It's happened about 6 inches below your apartment. Mm-hmm. You are not allowed to go down there. You see all your fellow student humans, okay? Mm-hmm. They're not student human athletes, but the fellow student humans having a good time. You can't go there. And then you lose your first game, and you're like, we still got everything in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
Lose your second game, that party's popping off a little bit more now.
Oh, yeah.
There's some more stuff going on.
New songs coming out.
Oh, there's some new banger. Oh.
The new Harwell.
Oh, there's the new TikTok dance where you're chopping your feet on the ass.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So you lose 4 games, all of a sudden, you're going to get a part of the roster. It's going to be like, hey, listen, we fucking stink this year. Do you see how much fun they're having? School sucks. Let's get out. We're going to be in debt forever. Bottom half of the roster is not on a scholarship. We're going to go do that. And then all of a sudden, you lose 5 games, and then everybody's like, yeah, fuck this season. We'll come back next year. This doesn't even count towards our eligibility. We'll be fucking freshmen again next year. We're gone with it. That has happened in college. Hasn't happened in the NFL, which is impressive.
Well, what about, I mean, not even just the losing team in college. What if about the disrespected, undefeated teams that stay undefeated and keep dropping in the rankings every fucking week because it's a scam?
Yeah, it is a scam. It's a racket. Joined alongside AJ Hawk. AJ, Dan Orlovsky, ever going to be a coach in the NFL?
Absolutely. I think 100%.
I think so too. I think he's been laying the foundation for that to happen a little bit. You know, he kind of leaks it out there. I would love to be a GM. Coach would be cool too. I think about it every once in a while. I think last year there was a rumor that he got offered the Philadelphia Eagles offensive coordinator, a quarterback coach job or whatever, because how much he put over Carson Wentz. And basically the thought was, people in the building were like, this guy seems to know Carson Wentz a lot better than our guys. Let's go ahead and try to get him. Lewis Riddick's getting 2 GM interviews right now. I'm excited to see how it all plays out. AJ, at some point, we just got to float our names out for those jobs. I think that's how it works, and then you just automatically do it. Lewis Riddick, I hope he gets a gig. I want to see, because his name is always brought up, and he's a former player. Anytime a former player gets into a GM role, I like to see them succeed. Hopefully, he'll be able to do that. There's an old tweet from him in 2018 that is circulating the internet right now that I think is rather hilarious from Lewis Riddick. It was his thoughts on things, but I think everybody thought the same way he thought at that time. It was about draft, stash, and pass. And he drafted Josh Rosen, he stashed Sam Darnold, and he passed Josh Allen.
Oh, okay.
And that is just kind of that's tough. But listen, every GM is going to make mistakes. Lewis Riddick wasn't a GM then. He's now learned through more stuff.
Right.
I hope Lewis Riddick gets a gig. I hope Orlovsky gets a gig. I hope we continue to build our friends, not that Lewis Riddick is, but Dan Orlovsky, into those roles so we can maybe have more interviews with them.
Yeah.
It's not easy being a GM, though, AJ. That's just not easy at all.
No, are you kidding me? Like, how tough would it be? Like, let's say you were in the top five and there was a couple quarterbacks to choose from and you have to make that decision. Like, how do you know? Like, there's no real There's no exact science on predicting who's going to make it.
Yeah, Ryan Leaf got drafted ahead of Peyton Manning. You know, you have all those incredible stories that are told by people. And obviously, Mitchell Trubisky was drafted ahead of the potential greatest of all time. And whenever he's done, Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, everything. Like, you have no
Trubisky's
idea.
Better than Watson.
But did you, what's that, dude?
Trubisky's better than Watson. Check the numbers.
From one weekend?
Winning percentage, actually.
Ooh. Mitchell Trubisky? Really?
Has a better winning percentage, yes.
Just say. That's fine, though.
I did not know that. I had no idea that was.
Is it 0.4% better? Yes. Okay. It's better, though. Okay. It's better.
If he didn't get benched this year for Nick Foles, that thing's probably lower.
No, way higher, probably.
No, yeah. Probably, yeah.
True. We'll never know.
I wonder if Mitchell Trubisky will play again. I did not know that. But anyways, the GMs, I think they take a lot of blame, you know, but I think it's not an easy gig. So it's like, that's why it's you have to be so careful with which jobs you take. Because if you end up at a place where you don't, like who, somebody told us, Lombardi told us, was that on Hammer Diner on this show, where he said if he had to make a move, he had to get it okayed by the goddamn owner. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't as easy as just like, hey, I want this guy, I want this guy, I want to bring in this guy, I want to do that. It's like not all GMs are allowed to do that. There's only some GMs that are allowed to make plays like that. You kind of get handcuffed in some places, and that doesn't get talked about.
He said he couldn't make a 7th-round draft pick without approval from the owner.
By the way, 7th round is where studs come from.
Oh, yeah. Big round.
AJ and I love this segment. It's our favorite segment every single week. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a recurring segment on this show called Questions from Other Sports Shows.
Welcome to Questions from Other Sports Shows.
All right, gentlemen, let's get right into it because we got a bunch of good ones today. First,
Whoa. I did not know where you go. How much?
Well, so we have 4 questions, and then there is a bonus round at the end if you two, you know, want to test those waters because the bonus round it gets a little frisky.
Okay.
First and foremost, from Undisputed, more credit for the win on Monday night, Lamar Jackson getting the team in field goal range or Justin Tucker's kick?
See, this is so interesting. Okay, I'll go first. They did this question just so they could shit on Tucker, right? So Tucker was getting a lot of credit. I saw on Twitter, by the way, it said Baltimore Ravens beat Cleveland Browns with Justin Tucker's 55-yard field goal. The headline at the bottom was like Ravens best Browns with Tucker 55-yard field goal. And I was so pumped up because, yeah, a bunch of other people had great games. Obviously, Lamar had a great game. Trace McSorley came out there, did his thing. You know, Marquise Brown had a touchdown there late. You got J.K. Dobbins running over Sendaiho right at the goal. I mean, there was a lot of good things, but I loved that Tucker was getting all the love and all the credit. I was like, this is good for kickers. And then I had to realize the next morning, like, oh, yeah, well, Tucker hit a 55-yarder. Now they have to shit on. And basically, this question was set up so that Tucker could get shit on. So I don't love that. Now, granted, Shannon Sharp went on an incredibly hilarious rant about kickers, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. And I've always said, hey, if you play in the NFL, you can say whatever the hell you want about kickers and punters. But obviously, this is a team thing. This is a team. The whole team's coming together. That's why you can never pin blame on one person. It's a whole team coming together, AJ. God damn it.
Okay, so let's say Lamar Jackson gets him in field goal range, and he makes that happen, and then Tucker misses the kick. What are we talking about? We're just talking about how Tucker is. He's been clutch his whole life. Oh, has he fallen off the cliff? Do they need to cut him? Has he lost his magic? Has he lost his mojo? He has the yips. So, yeah, dumb question. It doesn't really matter. There's no answer.
Tucker lost the game would be, by the way, everything. Yeah. Justin Tucker lost the game. Now, what if Lamar Jackson only gets him to, like, a 65-yarder or something like that, and he misses that kick? It would still, I think, be Justin Tucker miss kick, loses game or whatever. Like, but, granted, quarterbacks get a lot more hate on a daily basis and a lot more credit than kickers do. I just don't like that this question was set up strictly to kind of pounce on Tucker, it feels like.
Absolutely disgusting. You had to shine a light on it, and hey, let's just be glad that Justin Tucker hit that kick.
Hey, by the way, Justin Tucker probably hit that kick 10 times out of 10.
In his
absolute stud. Will Lamar Jackson, after going to the bathroom, come back and lead a team like that? We'll see. If they can, Baltimore's going to be problematic.
And maybe that question comes up later on, Pat. We'll have to find out.
Oh,
question number two. Is Washington football's team's Super Bowl window open next season? Can I go?
Yeah.
Connor, can you reread the question, please? Is the Washington football's team's Super Bowl window open next season? This comes from Get Up AJ. Go! Is that how it is written? Football's team? It was actually Washington football teams. Oh, okay. I don't even know the question. Pat, you can go first.
Okay, I respect. I did see him stumble over the question a couple times, and it is his segment. He's not a host all the time. Get off his.
I wrote an S, and then I had to cross it out with a pen, and then it kind of doesn't look like I crossed it out.
That's why I use mechanical pencils. This is a wild question. Who's playing quarterback for him next season? Anybody know?
Huh.
Anybody have a clue who's playing quarterback for the Washington football team next year?
Me.
Until we find out that, I think we can answer. But hey, I'll tell you what. With that defensive line, they'll be able to win games. They'll be able to beat teams they're not supposed to beat because that defensive line eats. Chase Young is an absolute monster. But we don't know a damn thing about the Washington football team next year. We know their name's going to be Washington football team, right, for another year?
Hell yeah.
Is that what they said?
They go to the playoffs. They
if they go, whatever. If they do anything, they're going to have to hang on to that. We know that old Jay Wright's going to be running the show over there as president.
Yep.
Ron Rivera's going to be head coach. I would assume that maybe Del Rio will get another job somewhere potentially.
Oh.
Yeah, we have no idea. This is a bad question.
Is it? I don't know. I mean, is there Super Bowl window open this season?
Yeah, no, that thing's closed like a motherfucker. Uh-huh. And also, the in Ireland, I don't know if you know this, but in Dublin, they had small little windows on some buildings, okay, because they had to pay Northern Ireland for the amount of window space that you wanted because there was the whole Protestant Catholic little war going on. It was car bombs and things like that. Mm. I would say that their window this year is a very small window in Dublin because Northern Ireland was taxing them so much, not a lot of money to pay for a lot of space. And that window is cement shut, I think, this year. But maybe next year that window starts creeping open. Maybe. Maybe they open it a little bit. So maybe.
Perhaps the window is open, gentlemen. AJ, if you didn't like that question, I know you're going to love this one. It comes from Good Morning Football. Oh, what current player would you want to have been college roommates with?
Go ahead, AJ.
I just like hearing how you – like your tone when you read the questions. That's why I wanted you to reread the other one.
Well, the last one he barely read the first time. So I'm happy you ran that thing back the second time. What current player?
I'm not – ever since I graduated middle school, like I didn't enjoy having a roommate. So I don't really know if this is – like if this like question is good for me. But if I had to pick one current player to be his roommate, geez – I want to pick somebody that doesn't talk, that isn't messy, okay, and I don't see. So whoever that would be.
Okay.
Let me think.
Josh Rosen?
I'm going with Jack Doyle.
Ooh.
Jack Doyle's that guy. He's probably doing all the lawn work, too.
Nice.
Yeah, he's probably putting up the lights.
Taking everything up.
That's why I'm going with Jack Doyle. Strictly off that reason. Another thing would be to go with, like, you know, Aaron, because – probably be a pretty cool house.
Yeah, nice house.
It'd be a pretty cool house, and Aaron would be a cool guy. You know, watch shows with at night and have a good conversation, and he's got a lot of money. But then I realized that I'm that roommate that he doesn't want. You know what I mean? Because of what AJ just said, who's quiet and who's tidy and all that stuff. Mm. I am not that. So maybe I potentially ruin my friendship with Aaron Rodgers. So I got to pick somebody that has been around me before, knows me a little bit, and is also good to listen. So I'm picking Jack Doyle, tight end of the Indianapolis Colts.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
That is an interesting qualifier, though, because are you in like a college dorm room, or are you in AJ's, you know, 850,000 square foot villa?
Well,
because
that's
I mean,
yeah, it's
then, you know, like you're not seeing the other person ever.
Yeah, because, you know, I got to use telephone to call, you know, my roommates. Mm-hmm. I believe Drake and his friends had to do that, had to call, get a drink at his own house. Right. So it depends. Are we at a Michigan house, or are we at an Ohio State football house, which is gifted by boosters?
Mm-hmm,
Or are we in a college dorm? There's a lot of what's that, AJ?
I mean, obviously, completely false. You're right there with that one, but I can see. Like, I don't. What's I have a feeling, Pat. No matter how large the house is, you could have a 40,000 square foot house. I have a feeling if you had a roommate, you would be following that little guy around the whole time. Like you would not be able to escape you. I feel like
they'd be following you to a big house. AJ, they'd be following me, pal. Okay, just know that. But we would probably be close to each other because I do get lonely. What's the next question, Connor? Yeah, don't leave me alone.
This one comes from Boston Rob in the AM. Does Lamar Jackson cramping up in the fourth quarter give you concerns about his longevity in the playoffs?
What show is that from?
Boston Rob in the AM is this other show in New Hampshire.
Boston Rob in the AM.
Yeah, he's absolutely slaying the game up there.
I did not know that was a sports show.
Yeah, put a little respect on his name because, you know, live free or die, they love him up there.
I just Googled it, nothing popped up.
Oh, is that right?
Well, he's not on Google because, you know, they went down the other day. I'm pretty sure they got wiped off there. Unfortunately for, you know, BR.
I did check Yahoo. He is on Yahoo, right next to Chuck.
Yeah. Honestly, Bing. He's the first thing that pops up.
That's Jeeves.
BR.
Yeah.
Boss Rob.
Anyway, it sounds like this is one you just made up.
No.
Yeah, it does feel like this is a people are saying potential thing to do on the show. No. Sounds like you are questioning this now. Would you like to answer this question?
I mean, look, hey, if I was on the show, I would, but I'm just here to ask the questions and you guys answer.
Oh, you're kind of past the ball.
I can't. You know, I would. I'd love to answer all these questions for you guys, but I can't.
Yeah, you're LaMelo Ball, huh?
Exactly. Just, you know, no look. See you later.
Yeah, but you made this question up and it's basically a take. So
bonus round is what you're saying? You want to go right to the bonus round then?
What I'm saying is I don't think this cramp has anything to do with his longevity. Is that what you want to talk shit on Lamar Jackson?
I don't want to talk shit on Lamar Jackson at all. I'm concerned about one thing only, and that's beating the Finns on Sunday, okay?
You're not concerned about this segment at all.
I'm not. Well, of course I'm concerned about this segment, but when it comes to football, I'm not concerned about Lamar Jackson's health. Okay. I'm concerned about the Patriots.
That was a weird time to get a cramp in your arm, though, wasn't it? Because he said he got a cramp in his arm.
Yeah, really weird time, right? That's why he did get an IV, though. If you saw, didn't he have the tape over his left arm?
Oh, Dr. David Cha. Dr. David Cha. Pro football doc.
It was a diarrhea, I thought.
No. Zito thinks it's diarrhea. Everybody else said he wanted to talk a shit. That is a weird time to get a cramp in your arm. I do hope he's okay.
Yeah. Me too.
And hopefully that isn't a sign of things to come, because I like when the Ravens are playing.
More fiber.
Like they play against. Fiber makes you poop, actually.
Maybe you got a monkey, maybe got a monkey bubble.
Yeah. What's that, dude? Oh, like a... Like a Charlie horse.
Yeah.
This show stinks. What's the next?
Hey, all they need to do, though, now the Ravens, now instead of just taking a leak in that tent, they need to bring one of those little RV toilets you could just dump it out right there on the sideline.
Hey.
Dump it out.
That's a good idea.
No fans.
That is. Wow.
What's next?
Pretty genius. So we're in the bonus round now, okay? These are strictly, you know, this is just a fun grab bag, okay? Spotify the other day, they came out with everybody's top songs of 2020. So one of them that came out was also Patrick Mahomes's. So can you guys guess what Patrick Mahomes's favorite song of 2020 was?
Oh, man. There's zero chance of me.
Which show is this from?
This is from Good Morning Football. You know what? I know you guys are going to guess it, so I'll just tell you. Patrick Mahomes' favorite song of 2020 was Kelsey You Again by Wiz Khalifa.
Wiz Khalifa?
Wiz Khalifa. Kelsey You Again.
Oh, they threw in okay.
Hey, they also released Aaron Rodgers' top song of 2020, if you guys would also like to hear that one.
Whoa. No way they said this on TV. You're making this all up.
I swear to God, I don't make anything that's on this sheet up aside from stuff that comes from Boston Rob in the AM.
So did he say Wiz? They said Wiz Khalifa? Hey, I'll see you again?
Not
four.
My words.
They gave the top four of each of these quarterbacks. Uh-huh.
These are just my favorites.
Okay, what's another one?
Aaron Rodgers' top song of 2020. Baby Got Back Tiari by Sir Six-A-Lot. AJ, it's not real. That's not real.
I swear to God. We have photos of it.
Very creative.
I saw
Baby Got Back, Tiari. I mean, if you think about it, it could be next level good music.
Who's pitching that? Is that somebody? I guess that's a really good. You got to have a good brain to think of this stuff.
Hey, like I got a question, Pat. So, Connor. What are these team? What are these stations? What are these shows going to do in the offseason if this is what they're coming up with?
Run it back. Run it back. Because this does feel like a lot of offseason chatter here. Like, you know what I mean? I think I saw Brady Gaga on the screen at one point.
Oh, I didn't see his top songs. What was his number one?
Brady Gaga, I believe. It was Brady Gaga's song.
Godwin's plan.
Well, no, there would be. Oh, not a bad. Hey, anything else? You got any other ones?
I was trying to think of who it was by, but I couldn't go. Maybe Dr. Arians or something like that. Drarians, I don't know.
I can't believe they do that. I'm thankful we don't. Their shows are better than ours. We agree with that. Uh-huh. Boy, we do not have the minds to think of things like that. And I'm thankful for that, because that person is tough to be around on a daily basis. Pick that person as a person I don't want to be roommates with, whoever thinks of those questions. But I do respect their brain for being able to do so. So that's another questions from another sports show. Woo! Can't thank you enough for choosing to listen to this show. I know there's a lot of things that can penetrate your ear holes. The fact that you allow us to do so with our words and our stupidity, we are eternally grateful. We'll be back tomorrow. Big time guest tomorrow.
Yeah, huge guest tomorrow. I mean, I usually don't spoil it, but Nick Mangold has to drink a whole thing of barbecue sauce.
Tomorrow should be pretty awesome. Also, more guests, more conversation. Be a friend, tell a friend. We'll see you manana. Ty, please play some independent music and propel these people into the glorious Wednesday that they're about to have. We'll be right back.
drink a light down by the bay. Hey, you know we're gonna go where Mary wants to. If she rolls up, she'll take us all the way. No, I don't need it, but I want it.
She won't have no other way.